Welcome to you, Ross. Great to have you on the program. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Dwayne. Thanks,
Dan, look, you sat back and coached on the weekend, but were there times where you sat back and thought, this is as good a footy as I've seen all year?
Our game?
No, yeah, your game overall. Not your players, but your game as a game.
Yeah, look, we knew that'd be tough. I think they're really well coached. And they're a young emerging group, and they compete really fiercely. Their fundamentals are strong. Then when the rain came down, it sort of got even a bit tougher. But it was great to have a go in those conditions. We haven't really played in it all year. And, you know, we're probably fortunate to not be down by a little bit more at half time, but we just tweaked a couple of things. And, you know, anyway, we cut it. We you know, some areas that we pride ourselves on were down in. So let's get out there and just lift a little bit. And we responded. I think we kicked five pretty quickly in the third, I think. So, made a game of it, which was pleasing.
And I think we take for granted over here that it'd be a big win for a Melbourne club, but Ross, jumping on the plane every second week and doing what you've done, 9 from 9, it's a big performance, and didn't get a lot out of your tall forwards. Pavs kicked a couple, Tabernard didn't have a great game. It must be good to see Walters finding a bit of form over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, he's a good little player, isn't he? Look, the travel doesn't faze us. Mm. You know, travel off numerous six-day breaks can be tough, like we had last year a little bit, but we certainly like getting away. You know, you respond to the challenge, and it's the fact of the national competition, so it's nothing we focus on. We're pretty routine, and we think we do it well, even though we're trying to improve it all the time. And we just thought when the rain came, we're a little bit tall, but, you know, we're banging games in the Tabernacle and Clark, so, but in the end, I think it was significant when we tapped out Tabernacle and just went with, I thought Tommy Sheridan come in and was super. So, balanced us up a little bit more when one of them went out.
I tuned in after the rain had already started, Ross, and pretty clearly you were too tall, but did you consider changing, or is it impossible to do that with rain imminent, but certainly not there when you start?
Yeah, no, I thought about it. You look at your hotel room, and even during the week we saw the rain predicted, but, you know, you're trying to get a style of footy in a group that can stand up, you know, regardless of height. I think Hawthorn do quite well with the tall. Mm. So what we didn't handle was their plus one very well, the positioning of it. And we let them just sweep the ball up, and the ball hit the deck and that gets swept away from our tall. So after halftime, we positioned better, you know, with their drop-off player, and made a better contest, and that extra nip helped us put some pressure on and mop it up a little bit more.
Hey, Ross, everyone over here is talking about Fife and Dangerfield. When you come to do your coaches' votes, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, did you have to think for long who you'd give it to?
I'm very biased. I go 3 Adelaide players out of the 5. I just had Fife and Sandilands for us, because you're significant. Sandy giving us first use, particularly last quarter when we dominated. But I think if the points had gone the other way, Nathan continued on in the last quarter. I thought Dangerfield faded in the last little bit. I thought Nathan dragged us across the line, really. He was super.
Can I ask you about the hit-outs? A lot of people don't respect hit-outs, and I think the gross number is overstated, but clearly the hit-outs to advantage, you guys have taken them to a new level, and I'll never forget the press conference after you got whacked in the first derby, I think you're in, where you said you had to rebuild your midfield. Well, rebuild it, and rebuild it you've done, but you're getting a lot of free ball because of the combination of Sandilands and your smalls.
It's just that they know he's going to get his hand to it most times, and they can just get to move. You don't want to be charging, but just that little bit of movement, and they're such big men, Fife and Mundy and Barlow and those guys, that if they just get that little bit of movement, that slight advantage then makes them really hard to tackle and lock the ball in. And that's why we don't have that many repeat stoppages. Up to the weekend, we were the least amount of stoppages in the competition, which is, I heard you talk, that is a shift for us. Probably a few years ago, we had more repeats.
Yeah.
More congested footy, but we're least stoppages in the comp, and because we like to get it out of there with the big bodies. And Aaron, just that advantage helps us get it out.
And I think he's expanded his repertoire as well. He's got a wider one, and then there's the really wide one. He's got the drop down to the defensive hip, etc., which is a little bit predictable, but you guys know it's going there just as much. Your thoughts on the third man up, which is it's a growing stat at the moment.
Yeah, we do it a fair bit ourselves, really.
You had a couple of
foot.
Did you have a couple of fourth man ups on the weekend, or was that by accident?
That'd probably be by accident. That might be trying to match them, but we know teams coming in, if they think they're going to get beaten, a lot of third ups. But some coaches don't like it. I know Roosie at the Swans, Eastern coach, set up, and they'd go up, they wouldn't have an effect, the ball would fall and their man would take it away, and I used to get in a little bit of trouble for that one. But some teams do it better than others. Hawthorn are super at it, and it's just, you need to do it and be coordinated. Look, it's a bit about, I think, I like the challenge of stopping it and getting it, and it's a different dimension rather than just the two ruckmen just going at it all the time. Doesn't worry me.
Seems like it's a bit akin to the torpedo. If you have a crack at it and it comes off, it's a great idea. And if you don't and your man gets the ball, it's a stinker.
It's like the Mick Barlow snap from the boundary. Lucky it went through.
How'd you like that one? Do you think he flushed it, or was it just out of the belly of the ball and it drifted?
Well, I could see what he... I could just see the body language. I knew what he was going to do here. Yeah. You know, I know Mick pretty well. He has got an uncanny knack. I think in my first game against Geelong, he came on as a sub after having a stress fracture all summer, and he slotted one from the boundary. He's uncanny like that, how he can put him through. So, yeah, you could see what he was trying to do. There's no doubt about that.
So just for clarity, because without doubt, somebody will be out there at some stage judging goal of the year.
Mm. And they'll have to judge goal of the week just on the AFL's website this week.
Mm. Do you think there was an element of luck in it or not? And if so, should it still count? Yeah.
Well, I don't know about luck. It was good management. You could see him tilt the ball to get that, you know, that skewed spin. There's no doubt. He wasn't trying to centre the ball.
No, he was trying to...
Yeah, a little bit of luck in it, but he managed it through pretty well. Whereas Eddie's, that left foot barrel was superb, wasn't it?
Unbelievable.
Ross, you have, over your time as a player and as a coach, seen some reliable, consistent, dominant superstars. But Fife's first 9 weeks.
Yeah, very, very, very high level. Particularly the contested ball aspect, and he's compared to Hurd, James Hurd, a lot. His career, the ability to go forward and catch the ball, his one-on-one percentages are really high. But what I saw was the work over summer. He wanted to get stronger in the legs. I mean, what he can deadlift, squat, and leg press is frightening. So he's a product of hard work and harnessing his talent. So. But to answer your question, it's a really high level. But he's got stuff to work on. He knows that. You know, he'd like to distribute the ball a little bit better. You know, all those little things. And his clearance work's improved again. So he's easy to... I don't talk that much to Nathan. He just trains hard and plays well. I just let him go, you know.
Hey, Ross, have you got an obvious captain in your group to take over from Pavlich, whether it's next year or the year after? And is Fife capable of that, you think, somewhere throughout his Fremantle career?
Well, I think it's an obvious question, isn't it? I just think it's evident that Nathan's been voted into the leadership group. He's a massive influencer, and he's moving that way. But ultimately, his teammates will decide. And leaders aren't born, they're made. They're made through discipline, hard work and action. And he's ticking a lot of those boxes. But fortunately, we've got a lot of guys emerging with him. But, you know, he's obviously a really big influencer. And in a perfect world, your most talented player is also your most disciplined and biggest influencer, and then it's easy for them to be captain.
Michael Johnson, 200 games. He's another one who's really had a fantastic 100 games. He was a bit of an unknown for a long time, but, geez, he's been at a good level for a long time.
Yeah, he was a little bit... I think he made a name as that third-tall defender and drop-off defender, and then he's moved into the ruck and forward and probably... His application Monday to Friday and summer wasn't as good, but since I've been here, I can't fault him, Jared. He's a really high-level performer. You know, for his height, 196, he can play on the smalls. He's ground level. He's superb, and you know, he's harder than I thought he was from the outside to come in, and he's one of our elite performers over my 3.5-year term here. There's no doubt about that.
We've just got 30 seconds, Ross. Morabito, are we going to see him again?
This year?
Yeah.
I can talk to this year, and that would be no. I had lunch with him last Friday in the 30 seconds. And, well, he's in. It's tough, but we communicate all the way along. He's got some severe bone bruising as a result of everything that's gone on, which I understand. Julian Fowler, who's been superb with all our players, has said it will take time to settle. So when that settles, he'll get moving again, and that's really just where it sits at the minute. Right. You know, so he won't play this year, no.
It's a joy to watch you boys and talk to you as well, Ross. It's great to have you on the program. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for the kind words, Dwayne. I appreciate it, guys. Ta-da.